Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, watching Donald Trump's day today, I'm just struck by the fact that we have a president again. I mean, look at this guy's day. Three speeches, 196 executive actions, holds a 90-minute press conference narrating each one as he goes along. I mean, Joe Biden could not and would not offer the kind of transparency or vigor to the American people that we got here on day one from Trump. And tonight, Trump's going to throw on a tux and go to three balls. I mean, he's having an active day. I think it's going to be a massive amount of contrast here for a presidency like what we're going to see out of Trump and versus what we've had out of Biden. I was watching Trump today, and Van and I were talking earlier today, watching him walk down the hall of the Capitol. And the words that came to mind to me were gritty, resilient, determined, and audacious. There's not like a more perfect advertisement for the value of these qualities in modern America. I mean, you think about all the things that happened to him, winning, losing, the court cases, nearly being assassinated. It's rather audacious what he has accomplished, winning this election and taking office today. And I, you know, you said you were in shock. Well, Republicans are in awe.
What about the pardons? What's your take on that?
Here's what I think.
We have a president again. This is what it's like to have a real president, Lee.
Yep, absolutely.
And the whole country feels different.
It just feels good to say President Trump and former President Biden. I enjoyed that part of my copy this morning in the news.
I bet you did. And look, we have the latest Rasmussen poll across every age category of Americans. Optimism, people reporting being optimistic as he's being sworn in, was in the 60s. So yeah. This is true energy. We need it. Americans just desperately needed somebody to say.
Well, it's called leadership.
Leadership. This is a great country. Yeah. We deserve to be great. We're right. Going to be great. Yeah. You deserve to be great.
Yeah.
No more hate. We're going to work together. We're not going to tear the country apart. We're not going to make every policy the one that hurts America the most, because that is what happened under Joe Biden. And it was not an accident.
No, it wasn't.
It was a deliberate destruction of the country to achieve Barack Obama's goal of ripping it down so that it could be remade.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I enjoyed the most yesterday, this is so wrong, but I did. And I'm going to spend a lot of the show on it, was watching the Uniparty humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
Humiliated. Trump knew they would be sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
His inaugural address, which was completely positive. Okay, there was no negative to it. He didn't call him out by name.
Nope.
But
didn't have to.
He ripped down piece by piece, brick by brick, the America that the Uniparty tried to build.
Yeah.
The open borders, unsovereign, un-American, cog in the wheel like a European country is in the EU. Destruction of this nation that began with George W. Bush. And so that's why I say it's not, it wasn't just Biden and Harris who sat there glumly staring ahead with dead eyes. It was Bush. It was George Bush. It was Laura Bush. It was Bill Clinton. Everything they built was burned to ashes right in front of their faces. It was one of the most glorious moments. It was the most glorious moment in politics I've ever seen. As he and it begins, the beatdown begins when Trump is saying, "We will begin the revolution of common sense now." And one by one by one, he rips down their policies. A lot of people don't realize, they think that the opening of our borders, the mass illegal immigration started with Barack Obama. It did not.
Right.
As recently as 2010, Nancy Pelosi, you can go look this up because it's on YouTube, is giving a speech in which she calls for a wall. Chuck Schumer, you could date him to 2011, calling for a wall. Where did this come? It came from George W. Bush. Bush started it. He tried to ram through amnesty, open borders policies, did everything he could to stand in the way of the Border Patrol using silly environmental or, you know, regulations. He pioneered that, not Biden or Obama. Using silly environmental regulations, stand in the way of Border Patrol. And it was remarkable yesterday, Lee, to understand how weaponized against this country the Uniparty was. The way you could see it, and you could actually physically watch it yesterday, as Trump is throwing out common sense policy after common sense policy, they sit there glaring, George Bush among them. So this wasn't just Democrats. One of the most shocking moments yesterday, and the only one where Bush clapped, okay, was where Trump pledges to, he declares the cartel foreign terror organization. I guarantee you, if you pull that right now among Democrats, hey, yeah, you like cartels? You think they're cool? You like them? Want to keep them around? How about a foreign terror organization designation? People know that hundreds of thousands of Americans have died from the drugs they've bought in, over 100,000 from fentanyl alone. They know. People know. Go ahead, pull the Democrats on the cartels. I guarantee you get 60-70% like, yeah, right on. We don't want them. Declare them a terror organization. And yet, Biden doesn't clap when Trump says it. Kamala doesn't clap when Trump says it. And this is why I've been telling you in the Battleground America podcast, Lee, I've been saying it for the longest time, the cartels and the Democrat Party are merging. I actually got the idea. It wasn't my idea. I got it from Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, who did a shocking interview in which he described in detail, and I'll play some of it today, how the Democrat Party and the cartels were merging. And so when the Democrats yesterday were forced to listen to the undoing of that merger between the cartels and the Democrat Party, I think initially it was going to be four votes to bring them their voters. But I think eventually you were going to see in city after city the Democrats using them as muscle. And I think that's really where there is just exactly how it works in Mexico. I mean, it just that model rolling right over our border. And when you saw this yesterday, this is proof positive. They don't want a hair on their head touched. Here's just a little bit of, this is last year, Attorney General of Texas Ken Paxton. You could see why Kamala and Joe glared when Trump declared war on the cartels, called them a foreign terrorist organization, said he was sending the military to the border. Listen to this. This is Ken Paxton again, Attorney General of Texas last year, talking about what Biden did with them.
He is cooperating, not just cooperating, but he's literally in partnership with these cartels. In the old days, they used to come and try to hide and run away from Border Patrol. Joe Biden's cut a deal somehow where these cartels transport people directly to the Border Patrol, and then they move them around the country. So we're in a terrible situation. Nothing like this country has ever seen before, and I fear the consequences of Joe Biden's decisions for the next years.
Paxton explains how Biden was working with the cartels to build a network. This is the merger of the Democrat Party and the violent cartels.
They're taking federal law and dismantling it, and he's making up his own rules as we go that allow the cartels to gain a foothold, a really strong foothold in the United States, not just in my state, but really across they're building a network across the country so that they can keep doing this well after Biden's gone.
And finally, Paxton said Biden is directly aiding these cartels.
They're actually helping aid and abet the cartels. And then Texas says, we've had enough. We're going to do something about it. And then they threaten us from enforcing our own laws. It seems pretty crazy, and it's hard to believe that we have a government that is working against its own citizens and helping the cartels move as many people across the border as possible.
Well, unbelievable.
Not happening anymore.
Not
that ended
any
yesterday.
More.
Yeah. At least the first steps are being taken.
And I mean, when you have, okay, keep in mind, these are the Democrats, right, who said it was a right-wing conspiracy theory that there's any kind of problem at the border. There is no invasion at the border. Remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
That went on for a year.
Yeah.
That was a conspiracy theory. You were trying to demonize brown people. You're just racist. You're trying to, you know, cause fear. Yesterday, the world saw the truth because you saw Joe Biden sitting next to Kamala Harris. And when Trump said, all illegal entry will immediately be ended right now. He declared it all illegal entry. Not entry, illegal entry. And they don't clap. The whole crowd gives him a standing ovation for this. They stand up. You really got to see the clip. I'll retweet it so you can watch it because it is jaw-dropping. All illegal entry will immediately be halted. The crowd's standing there clapping. Biden and Harris are sitting down glaring at the crowd. Go watch it. You can find it at Trump War Room. But I'll retweet it, see if it's like now hundreds of videos down. But and they're glaringly the people who insisted there was no invasion. That was a conspiracy theory. Guess it wasn't. And you have Bush sitting there glaring with them, by the way. Not surprising, because remember the nonprofit that Bush, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama launched to pay for some of those flights of illegal immigrants into the country. In other words, they had become coyotes and were actively breaking federal law to get these people into the country. So they are told by Trump, it's over. Your open borders are done. You lose. Lights out. The American people have no use for you anymore. These are broken political dynasties. And the beauty of it, Lee, one last thing, Trump broke every one of them. The Clinton political dynasty broken. The Bush political dynasty in absolute tatters. The Biden political dynasty, well, had to go out with pardons so they don't end up in prison. Just shattered right there on the national stage. It's the greatest moment of politics I've ever seen. And we're just getting started this week. Probably one of the most moving, if you're going to go watch some of the clips of this, go to X. You're going to go watch some of the clips of the inauguration. If you heard it, or you might have been focused on Trump. Go watch some of these clips and watch the reaction of the Uniparty, which is sitting to Trump's left, your right. When he says, God saved my life on that field in Butler so I can make America great again. Saved his life from assassination. Surely we can all agree that we don't want him dead, right? We could, sure. That was the kind of thing Americans used to be able to agree on before the Uniparty fakely tore this country to pieces, pitting American against American along every line and fracture imaginable, race, gender. Surely we can agree we don't want Trump to die, right? Nope. As he describes surviving assassination, Republicans clap. They get on their feet. Normal people are happy. We don't want dead presidents, right? They sit and glare. They don't clap. If you want to see who these people are, in fact, I bring this up this morning to start the show because I tell you how bad these people are. And I know sometimes it's hard to believe they're really this bad. Watch it for yourself. Watch it. As Trump says this, picture this in your mind because this is radio, but you can go watch it on X if you want right now. He talks about almost dying. They clap because he didn't. And Kamala and Joe sit stone cold, not clapping. It looks weird. And they glare.
Over the past 8 years, I have been tested and challenged more than any president in our 250-year history. And I've learned a lot along the way. The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one, that I can tell you. Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed to take my life. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again.
In the old days, not too long ago, the Democrats would have stood and clapped. They wouldn't have meant it. But they had basic human instincts. They had a need and a desire to interact with other human beings and show those human beings basic common humanity. Rush Limbaugh did a brilliant segment on this. I should put it back on the air. That they have come to the psychological point where they do not believe they should have to subject themselves to elections anymore. They have absolute contempt for all voters and apparently for human life. As I tell you, almost every day there's an example of it. You saw it yesterday. Go watch it. Go watch. Don't just listen. Watch it. It's remarkable. This is bad. One of the best lines of the whole thing. And of course God saved him. Of course God did. That's not a crazy thing to say. It's what everyone feels. And you know how bad that looked? Let me tell you how bad that looked. Because see, the first assassin was either think, well, maybe this is a liberal troll. And he was. He was a liberal troll. He was all over Gab. The FBI deliberately did not go to Gab to pick up his social media posts so they can continue to lie and say he was a Trump supporter. He was not. You can see that from his posts. Maybe Crooks was just an angry young man who needed help, but by the time you hit the second assassination, it became clear something very, very wrong was going on here. No president has suffered two assassination attempts in the United States of America in all of its history in less than 60 days. And then America knew. And you know what? They should have played along. Oh, we would have hated it if he was killed. But they didn't. They couldn't. That is what Rush Limbaugh would have called their seething rage. Their demonic, seething rage. And the contrast between that and Trump's beautiful, wonderful, shining, hopeful message is like anything I've ever seen before. And you know what I loved the most yesterday? Well, after those things. Our story here often starts, because I always tell it to you from the Bush perspective, which is really when they came up with this idea they would engineer the decline of the country. And they weren't hiding it, okay? And I will never forget, as long as I live, Jeb Bush going up to the Hamptons, he had a fundraiser with they had lobster and they had shrimp and they had steak. And these were the high rollers of the Democrat Party. It was a fundraiser in the Hamptons that you and I will never be invited to, okay? We'd be lucky to get to serve these people, okay? Democrat donors and Jeb Bush. And he gave a speech. And in the speech, Jeb Bush talked about the need to manage the decline of America. That is where that comes from, that term, manage the decline. And Trump seized on it like I did. Been yelling about it for years, actually before Trump was even on the political scene. So yesterday, when he said this, this is the bookend to that.
My recent election is a mandate to completely and totally reverse a horrible betrayal and all of these many betrayals that have taken place, and to give the people back their faith, their wealth, their democracy, and indeed their freedom. From this moment on, America's decline is over.
That's for the Bushes. We are not managing the decline. Take that, Jeb Bush and the Democrat donors. We are not scheduling the decline of America and managing it. There is another option. Ooh, I love it. I'm so fired up.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My recent election is a mandate to completely and totally reverse a horrible betrayal and all of these many betrayals that have taken place, and to give the people back their faith, their wealth, their democracy, and indeed their freedom. From this moment on, America's decline is over.
Unbelievably, literally, while Trump is giving the speech, this, I'll let Trump tell you.
You know, did you know that Biden, while I was making my speech, pardoned his whole family? The brother, the whole deal was pardoned. Can you imagine that? While I was making my speech.
Whole family pardon. They really were a criminal syndicate. Oh, they told us that was a conspiracy theory too, which honestly at this point, media, they really need to change that. Yeah, because it's become an online joke. It really has, that if the media, the mainstream media, what little is left of it, says it's a conspiracy theory, then it's true and you should pay extra attention to it. By the way, we're going to get to the Biden family members in a minute. And I'll tell you why he pardoned him. If you want to know, I mean, I actually do know why he pardoned them. He had no choice. If you listen to this show, you know. Catherine Herridge, investigative reporter for Fox News and then for CBS, got a interview with the IRS whistleblowers who in 2019 were investigating Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the members of the Biden family for accepting and laundering $30 million in Chinese bribes. And I did a Battleground podcast on it. Maybe need to go back and redo some of this. They are IRS whistleblowers. They came out for the first time. I'm going to make all these pardons make sense to you today. Including Fauci's, which, by the way, is tied in with all of this. This is all, it's all the same story. It's one of the, it is the probably the greatest story of the century. How the Biden family profited from the creation of COVID and other bioweapons, moved not millions, but billions for the Pentagon. Fauci was the front man. And all of our intel agencies were involved. But I'm not going to go deep into that. Let's go simple. Let's go with one of the most basic crimes of the Biden crime family. And that is the $30 million that they took from the Chinese. Okay. So these two whistleblowers, the IRS guys who were in 2019, they already had the Hunter Biden laptop. They were investigating it as part of the money laundering and bribery investigation into the Biden family. They were silenced due to threats by the Department of Injustice and the FBI. They couldn't come out legally. They were afraid they'd be put in prison until this fall, right? They didn't come out until this fall. Nobody has heard from them. We need to hear from them some more. So this story wasn't told till this fall. Let me let them tell you the story.
Did President Biden financially benefit from his son's business deals?
This whole thing at the end of the day was about enriching a family, enriching the Biden family through access to an administration.
This is an August 2017 email from Hunter Biden, and he's talking about introductions for a Chinese energy firm.
He is literally laying out the agreement that it's $30 million he is being paid over a three-year period for introductions alone. That was definitely something that was of big concern, of a big concern of ours.
$30 million in introductions, just introductions, $30 million. Biden family, did you catch that? Not Hunter, Biden family. See, the problem with that is that Hunter didn't report that to the IRS. Remember, we have his tax returns because he was forced to disclose them in public in the baby mama trials, you know, because he decided he wasn't going to pay his baby mamas. He was going to spend the money on prostitutes instead. Hunter filed. So we know he did not report that to the IRS, and they can't. It's illegally gotten gains. Plus, he also funneled it to Joe. Oh, the whistleblowers told us that too. Yeah, it's why they were silenced by the FBI and DOJ. Do you see the reason for the panic here? You see the reason why two assassins managed to get that close to Trump? Less than 60 days? It's all here. It's all here. And the story's so much bigger than that. This is so much bigger than that.
Very early in the Hunter Biden case, the whistleblowers say investigators identified the players in this May 2017 email about a potential deal with a Chinese energy firm that reads 10 held by H for the big guy.
There was no question in your mind, based on the universe of data, that the big guy was Joe Biden.
We corroborated that the big guy was Joe Biden, yes.
Did your supervisors accept that the big guy was Joe Biden?
There was no question ever that the big guy was referring
to
Joe Biden.
Yep. So FBI, IRS, everyone understood
and,
that.
And that's why when we were doing the interviews, the prosecutors in Delaware specifically told us that they didn't want to ask about the big guy because they knew it was Joe Biden.
IRS whistleblowers, folks. Threatened by the FBI and the DOJ, the same FBI and DOJ that knew damn well Biden was the big guy and took the money. We're done here. So literally, I mean, gosh, it was perfect. It's like a book or something, like a movie, but it would never happen this way, right? Joe is sitting there. Trump is speaking. And the pardons are going through for that crime right there. Oh, and the proof of it was on the laptop. As I've told you for years, that's why they needed to get the 51 intelligence agency heads to lie to you and say the laptop wasn't real. Because if it was real, the crimes were real. That's why they played games for years. Here's the IRS whistleblowers on that.
It was clear that it was a campaign to discredit that information before an election. Ultimately, I guess you can conclude that it was for the purpose of affecting that election.
When you heard dozens of former intelligence officials say the laptop had the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation, you knew that was false.
It was misinformation to try to make something else look like misinformation.
To be clear, the investigative team, IRS, FBI, Justice Department, they knew the laptop was real. But if a member of that team spoke up publicly, then prosecutors would go after them.
Us, at that time, releasing information that the laptop was real, a special agent that's on the case.
Yeah, they would have gone to prison. There it is. That is why the part, I wanted you to understand it, because nobody's going to explain it to you like this. They're going to act like, wow, we don't know what they did. No, we do know what they did. We know Catherine Herridge broke it. This is an old story. It's months old. I've been screaming about this. We know what they did. They need to haul in those IRS whistleblowers, start the investigation over again, and throw out these pardons. Because Hunter needs to go to prison. Joe needs to go to prison. Jill needs to go to prison. They all need to go to prison. And you know who was smack in the middle of this mess with him? Fauci. I'm going to explain all of it as the show unfolds. Keep it tuned right here. Texter writes, there's so much to celebrate. By the way, the new text line is 800-905-0989. That is also the number to call the show. There's so much to celebrate. What about the firings and the 51 who lost their security clearances? Actually, we covered that yesterday. Just getting started. One of the things I'm enjoying the most is the absolute freak out that is going on right now among federal employees. And here's what's going on. Trump restored something called Schedule F via executive order. So what that does, that removes protections against firing for a significant portion of the federal workforce. Okay, so federal workforce as it is right now is kind of like a welfare program for Democrats. It's a place for them to draw a paycheck while doing nothing and voting Democrat. And that's going to end. And look, I said this on the podcast. Trump is just to take back these agencies. We will have to not just fire thousands, but tens of thousands. These are utterly weaponized agencies, not just the obvious ones like the FBI and the DOJ, but like the Census Bureau. The Census Bureau stole somewhere between 7 and 15 congressional seats through fraud. And then once the primaries had been held, admitted, Yeah, we might have had a lot of fraud. It made it look like there were more Democrat districts than they were. Sorry. It only went one way, by the way. But don't worry. We fired the 200 people who did it. What about prosecutions? Well, by then we were into the Biden administration. It was too late. It literally defrauded the American people out of, again, estimates are anywhere between 7 and 15 congressional seats. That's why our majority is so small. It should be much bigger, but they stole it using the Census Bureau. They need to go through there with an axe and subpoenas. I mean, this is an exhausting process. J.D. Vance is going to have to win, but we got a good start yesterday on this. So Trump knows this. We've got to clear the human debris out of these agencies. And it is. It's human debris. So Schedule F removes protections for significant portions of federal workers. You know where else he's got to get him out of? Got to get him out of Secret Service, or he's not going to survive his term. We got to lop the top third off that minimum. We got to get the management out in particular. That's just basic human survival. Trump's going to have to do this in the FBI and the DOJ so that they're not waiting for him with handcuffs after this term. Don't think they won't be if he fails. And he won't fail, but what he's going to have to do is fight them in court. They're going to fight for 2 years to stay in place. So Schedule F removes protections for significant portions of the federal workforce and turns certain civil servants into at-will employees, which is exactly what they should be. Exactly what they should be. This is not a long-term welfare program for Democrats and people who hate Trump. Remember this headline. This is from the Daily Wire. Only 6% of federal workers work from an office. 6%. Only 6% of feds work from an office full-time, and some aren't working at all, an audit finds. Close to 90% are not even in the office. So we got to go through with an axe. So anyway, Trump actually first signed this executive order in 2020. Biden came in and got rid of it, canceled it. But Trump is going back at it. This is going to be a key part of this. The struggle to get these people to get through the court fights, past the Democrat judges, and get these people fired in under 4 years. And it's not just an existential battle to take back our government. It is literally the difference in whether Trump will get on a helicopter at the end of 4 years and fly off a free man, or we'll just see another raid at Mar-a-Lago. And folks, don't kid yourself. Everybody on our side deserves some time to celebrate after what we've been through. But we did not win yesterday. No. We are in the right to get on the battlefield yesterday. Fight starts today. It's a war. It's going to be bloody. Don't kid yourself. It's going to be the nastiest thing you have ever seen. It's got to be for us to win. It's got to be. And we're not going to be free. But folks, understand this. This is a man who could not even get on the battlefield. A man who did not have a Facebook account. It was taken. A man who did not have a Twitter account. It was taken. A man they tried to put in prison for 700 years. Total censorship in the 2020 election. Lived in a police state. And we came back from that. So savor it, but understand the war starts now. All we've done is earn the right to get back on the battlefield and be heard.